Welcome to the Ether. Today is Thursday, June 8th, 2023. Today on the Ether, branding, lawyers, the future, Cosmos ecosystem. This is part two of a two-part space hosted by Sean O'Reilly. Let's take a listen.
Jacob, we have shut you off. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jacob. Give us your
opinion. Hello? I wasn't shut off.
We're just pummeling you. I'm sorry. We didn't shut you off. We just talked over you. So please go ahead.
Oh, well, guys, what else is there to actually say when it's extremely clear that Fat Gaia, in addition to needing weight loss, she needs, Fat Gaia needs a lawyer in addition to weight loss.
Define Fat Gaia, please. And Gaia in particular, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. That's the Cosmos Hub. Fat Gaia is the Cosmos Hub. She's fat because her block size is too large. And she has a tendency to overwhelm. She has a tendency to overwhelm everything. Well, the computer she's running on, specifically. Anyhow, that's why she's Fat Gaia. Called her
Jacob, if you can, just a bit. Mm-hmm. Please go back in time and explain to us why Cosmos Hub should be called Gaia. That would give some context to what you're saying.
Why is the hub called Gaia? Oh, she's a loving mother spirit.
No. Why? I think I saw your tweet. So it's about it should be called Gaia, and that's the. And sorry.
Why should she be called Gaia? I mean, she should be called Gaia because it's just a way better name, guys. A hub is a networking device that you put on your desk in your office. It moves packets between computers. And Gaia is therefore the more fitting name. The reason that Gaia is the more fitting name is because it is regal and, just generally excellent, right? That's the reason for Gaia.
Okay, so now that we have you in against the wall and the chair all by yourself, it seems like that, doesn't it? Everyone's pounding you about you guys and all of Cosmos needs lawyers. I mean, not us, but some. I mean, lawyers will recognize you got a lawyer up, and I think that's Sean's and my point is that we don't care if it's us. I don't want to be a lawyer for Cosmos. For goodness sakes, I do not want to be. But I'll tell you. A lawyer will recognize when it's time to lawyer up, and it's now time. And so, Jacob, with your connections, the people you know, Yusef or Zaki, I was hoping they're in here. It was short timing, I'm sorry. It's hard to answer the questions that we're asking you because I think Zaki, you guys together, use Jack Zamp and Zaki and Sonny and all those other people. They all think of themselves and their own lawyers as little fiefdoms, you know what I mean? Fiefdoms, rather. But I think as a whole, Cosmos is, I'm not going to say the word, it starts with an F and it ends with a D. And I don't have much faith in it because it's so fragmented. And I prefer to work with smaller projects to get them compliant than to work with the whole damn hub. Go ahead.
No, hang on. I mean, working with the whole damn hub is actually, it's quite challenging. Like for realsies.
And we haven't even talked about the fact that Notional or Noble is going to issue USDC natively on the hub, or maybe.
Well, on Noble at first, I think.
I'm just saying, if they the plan is interchain security after that, like you guys like it's complicated. Like development has gotten past the point now. It's gotten so good that you have to think before you leap, because it's just like it's really gotten that great. This wasn't even possible before, you know. You couldn't break this many laws before.
I certainly don't think that Noble or Circle intends to do anything outside of the law. Well, talk about lawyered up, man. Like, yeah, that's lawyered up. That's lawyered up to the gills.
Circle, I mean, just the SEC just in the same lawsuit yesterday named stablecoins as securities. So, I mean, I don't know what the hell.
Did they? They named BUSD a security, but they didn't name USDC or Tether.
No, they have mentioned several times that they could be like securities as well. Like they won't give a straight answer on it. And like I personally think BUSD is just an easier target first. Because right. But as soon as they get one stable coin labeled as a security, I don't know really why they're.
Well, there was some shady shit going on with BUSD, and I think that's why that was included. I don't remember the exact details right now about the payments that were used for BAM trading or BAM group or whatever it is that CZ was using as kind of like his like trading firm to like basically pump up volumes on various exchanges. But I think there's a pretty clear case for stablecoins being commodities. And I mean, the Circle literally just hired like the ex CFTC chairman. So I feel like if anyone is set up in a way to succeed long-term, it's probably Circle. But that's just based off of their team and their hires and like their connections.
Yeah, but if we're offering rewards to hub stakers in USDC, it's just like I don't know what all those implications are anymore, you know.
I don't think we are. We're not doing that.
We will be.
I'll explain why real quick, okay? So the future of staking is very likely stakeholders seeing teeny little bits of, you know, the tokens A through Z that are traded on a given platform. I think that's going to be the case with Osmosis. I think that's going to be the case with the hub. Let me explain that real quick. So, hi, I'm Shane XYZ, and I would like to spin up, a product. And what are the hub stakers going to get? Well, I mean, ideally, we're not endlessly catching fresh print, because we all know and have learned by now that fresh print ain't really the way to go, because it, you know, slowly makes itself into nothing. So that's the argument against endless inflation. But then, okay, well, what the hell do you do? Well, enter, in my opinion, products like Sommelier, And liquidity scenarios, so DEX scenarios, basically, where stakers, in exchange for staking and securing the platform, are receiving a chunk. And anyhow, so if USDC is being traded, by the way, it doesn't matter if it's ETH USDC or Noble USDC. I mean, hub stakers are likely to receive USDC, whether that's a direct intention or not. I hope that makes sense to everybody.
Yeah, but is Noble was initially launching utilizing ICS, but then decided to become its own chain. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. But I mean, I believe that was done to sort of just duck away from some of the scarier issues occurring on the hub politically. Okay, so the hub has a discourse that, you know, I think for worse personally, frequently tends to do stuff like relitigate the German 1930s. And that, you know, that's not great. Like, you know, if we can avoid stuff like that, we can certainly be more productive. And I believe that more than anything else is why Noble is currently its own chain with a validator set composed of hub validators so that later it can become an IBC or ICS chain. Key point here at its explicit option. I believe that it was a move to preserve optionality. And I also want to tell everybody here, made a lot of sense to me, guys.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to say that I heard, I think Stake City or what, somebody had, you know, them on to discuss the project for about an hour. And I think that I loved that it was not issuing a token, that it was just going to have, you know, be a kind of an issuance for USDC. And that when I heard that, you know, we're watching, we'll see how Stride goes and how Neutron goes before like crossing that bridge. I'm like, crossing that bridge to giving staking rewards in USDC transactions to Atom stakers is like a great idea. But what are like the implications of that? Is there's probably tons of different ways to do it. Like, you know how Uniswap gives out NFTs for like liquidity holdings because they can't regulate that. They can't stop you from having an NFT that represents your amount of liquidity in a given position or whatever. It's like there's ways around all this stuff to do it and be compliant. I just don't know if issuing US dollar equivalents directly to stakers is the way to do it, you know? I don't know. I'm just saying, I think somebody needs to ask somebody that does know.
I gotta posit something very important here, I think. Guys, I'm friends with a bunch of very focused crypto law nerds who do nothing other than crypto law, okay? I believe that the answer to what you just posited, Sean, like, you know, we got to find somebody who knows. I tell you, man, I believe nobody knows.
That is true. That is true. Nobody knows. And we were just talking the other day about like who can even call themselves a crypto lawyer. And like, I think maybe you just need somebody that's licensed to practice law that knows a lot about crypto. But the only thing that crypto lawyers that I see do now are they're playing defense and they're putting out fires. And that's not the greatest way to deal with this. I mean, it's always better to have, you know, the SEC say you're a security because we disagree with your argument that you stated here that says you are not, and this is why you're complying or something, rather than just like, you didn't comply, blah, blah, blah. and now you have no, you're like, well, I didn't know. You didn't make it clear to me what to do. It's like, dude, Coinbase, you knew you should have done something, or at least you should have had an argument, or you should have said why you weren't. You're just waiting to get sued. And now the lawyers are like, how the hell do we deal with this? We don't even, like, there's no argument that was presented ahead of time. So now they have to make it all up now. You know, or maybe they were saving an argument for court, but that sounds stupid. They could have just, like, avoided lots of these issues. Or the SEC will tell them, we view that you're out of compliance for these reasons based on what you've stated. And then they can move towards compliance without getting sued. Like, there's just, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know if there are crypto lawyers. I think there's lawyers that love crypto.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But I mean, I'm definitely talking about people who, you know, I agree with you, by the way, because there's not, well, first of all, a lot of them are kind of forced by nature of the enforcement actions in the space to deal, you know, in arcane law that has nothing to do with crypto, for example, securities law. And I don't think that there's enough of an established specialization. And actually, here, let me throw the lawyers a bone here. Okay. Guys, I'm serious. Gaia needs a lawyer. Okay. It may need more than one. I don't know. But Gaia needs a lawyer. And
you're saying Cosmos Hub needs a lawyer, right?
Yes, I am. I'm saying Cosmos Hub needs a lawyer.
You need a team of lawyers.
We may. I don't know if that Gaia can, the Cosmos Hub can afford a team of lawyers. I think that one is a very good starting place. And that, okay, what would I want from Cosmos Hub legal representation? Well, a hub attorney would have been able to do stuff like flag the very, very clear reality that the AIB lawsuit, guys, that's basically quoted in the SEC stuff. And a hub lawyer would have been able to say that. A hub lawyer would be able to, I don't know if it ends up being not legal advice type advice or legal advice, to be able to advise ecosystem participants. Okay, we'll give you a few examples of these. We have consumer chains. We have governance participants. We have organizations like the AADAO. By the way, no, I don't want to increase the community pool tax 20%. Just fund AADAO. It's not a good idea. But like, you know, they're a thing now, right? And certainly they have faced a bunch of questions that don't have easy answers in the legal department. So when you take all this together, right, the hub needs a lawyer. Like, okay, and then that's without even getting into the SEC stuff of this whole question of, is the Atom a security? And by the way, the Atom is not a security. Why can I say that so confidently? Well, it's because Atom was very, very carefully launched in a decentralized fashion. And I'm just going to speak to the technology real quick. Guys, you don't have to start a new chain with 100 validators. You don't need to do that. It's much easier to start with one, and then the one seeds the other, and then the other seeds the other, and so on and so forth. But that's not how the hub or chains in Cosmos in general work. And, you know, compliance with is sort of like the same sort of angle, the decentralization angle that ETH was given, you know, was absolutely a goal there. The hub did not have an ICO. The hub had a fundraiser that basically said something along the lines of, well, fuck you, you might one day get some tokens, but like, we don't know, like, you're doing this because you're enthusiastic about the tech. I mean, go check out the docs, because the docs are still legal. They're still available, unchanged, github.com/Cosmos/fundraise. And yeah, I mean, I'm just a software engineering org CEO. What the fuck do I know? But I also know that at the time, the community putting together the hub had lawyers. And okay, now we have a hub. And the hub is facing legal friction from a couple of different places, including one of the founders. But that's most certainly not the only place of legal friction for the hub. And wouldn't it be nice as hell for the hub to actually have some sort of a public good legal advisory body? Guys, $250,000 a year? $500,000 a year? I don't know what it costs to hire a general counsel for the hub, by the way. No idea.
I think if you don't mind, go ahead, Sean.
I was going to say, I don't even know necessarily you'd have to, well, because it's probably going to have the opposite opinion because that's how we work. But I don't know that a lawyer would want to get paid to do it. Honestly, they probably want to do it to do it. They might, but I think that involves them in, you know, something that maybe they'd rather do for no money in return. But Gus, go for it.
Yeah, you're talking about pro bono, and it's something I'm tired of doing in Cosmos. But it's not my jurisdiction.
I think this person's got to get paid.
Jacob, just one point here. First of all, I think that Cosmos needs a leader, and I've said that to you a million times in person, I think, and you recognize that. You heard me, and you know you didn't always agree. But if there's one person or one tribunal or some council or board to deal with as the hub, I think any lawyer, good lawyer out there, Irina Heaver follows me. She and I communicate once in a while. I don't invite her to spaces, but she's the crypto lawyer, like Haley Lennon or Jake Chervinsky. There's three of them based out of Switzerland, Dubai. And that's someone you might want to consider because Cosmos is a big thing. You can't have some, I'm not going to say it, I'm going to say J-off lawyers like us, you know, running the show because you need a real, and then that's an interesting point that goes back to Sean because what is a crypto lawyer? Because, I mean, some lawyer who's based in West Virginia, I mean, their jurisdiction is West Virginia. So, Sean, maybe you can shed some light on that. Out of my jurisdiction, I work in Indian country, so I've got this transit pass where I can go between different jurisdictions, so to speak. They're domestic dependent sovereigns, which are tribes, reservations. So I work for tribes. So I don't need to stay within my jurisdiction. But these crypto lawyers who are international, well, they're heavyweights. And I think Cosmos is a heavyweight. And I happen to think that Cosmos needs heavyweights, like someone like, say, a nice person like Irina. I don't know her, but I can recommend her. And that's all. I mean, all that I think that Sean and I are trying to do is sound the alarm and say, listen, guys, get all the camps together, round the wagons. The SEC is after you. I don't care about your personal disputes and who's banging who's ever wife or whatever. Okay, let's get our rifles out, round the wagons, and I know it sounds sad, but it is. It's the truth.
The British are coming. The British are coming. Like, dude, that's all.
Exactly.
We're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I mean, so we're just lawyers who just want to say, guys, enough with Don and Jacob's arguments against each other. I run spaces like that. It's a lot of fun to hear. But
yeah, FYI, I don't have any argument against them.
The hour is late. That's all we're trying to say. And it's actually overdue.
So,
For Habitury? Yeah, I think
about
so.
About representation.
I agree with you. I agree with you fully. And by the way, guys, if it's AIB's lawyer, okay, they represent AIB. If it's Informal's lawyer, they represent Informal. If it's the ICF's lawyer, they represent the ICF. I want a lawyer for the hub.
Yeah, you definitely need somebody without the conflicts that presents. I don't think they could even represent the hub and represent the three factions in it.
100% on that. The problem is that it's so fraction up. All these different factions that are fighting against each other. I don't know how someone could possibly represent, quote, Cosmos. I don't see how that would happen. There's so many conflicting interests. Sean, what do you think?
No, okay, it's easy on the hub, though. I'll just throw this out here and then somebody else speak here. But, okay, check it out. No, that's easy. They look out for the stakers. Done.
It might be, I don't know how you do this. Again, we're not, I'm to criminal defense now, but there might be a way to like have it's not a class action, but like a representative of the whatever, you know, is there something like that, Gus, that can be like a, you know, a person that is representative of just a, you know, a delegator in the hub, and that's who the lawyer would be.
Actually, I believe that the lawyer could actually represent all the parties who are interested because there are shares. So the ICF has a certain number of shares, Cosmos. The hub has a certain amount of shares. The shareholders have a certain amount of shares. And then, I don't know. I mean, that would be hard to do. But at the same time, it's sort of there's some commonality between all of us. We want Cosmos to survive. And ICF, all in bits. Cosmos Hub, the holders could be done. And in fact, it would take a much higher, someone way beyond my pay grade to represent that. And that's all I have to say. And so, Jacob, you're kind of a conduit to the big people out there because I know, you know.
Yeah, just
you know
make them. Me a freak here real quick. So just a second. You keep yammering.
I'm jamming it. Like, guys. I'm just trying to say that when lawyers smell smoke, they say you get better lawyer up. And then when they see fire, then they go, oh, shit, you should have lawyered up. And we're kind of at that ignite moment right now. And we haven't warned you before. And you and I have had some DMs between each other where I just like, I didn't really say this, actually. I just said there needs to be a head, somebody, some representative. There's got to be a representative that can be served within Cosmos. I don't know. What do you think about that? Sean, as far as a representative, I mean,
I think that, dude, we didn't also, when we made this space, even a few days ago, the SEC didn't put Cosmos Hub in a filing, you know, so this is, it's pretty new, like, so I think it's good that we're like talking and working through it, but.
Yeah, it's good. It's right. There's, it's just a fishing expedition. And that's something I have to remember because I get caught up in all the emotions of it. And the thing is that nothing sticks. I mean, Gary's out there on a fishing expedition right now. However, it's a clarion call to that the fact that Cosmos has to unite and get representation. Some sort of council, vote, whatever. I've been like pushing this for ages, Jacob. You know this.
And I love Cosmos. Like I've been doing it for like a long time. I love all the fucking chains. Like most of them, even the ones I hate, I love that are there. And like, I don't know, man. I guess it's really cool. I think that we're having this kind of space or bringing this all up.
Like, yeah, we want it to survive. We want it to survive.
Yeah,
and we like it, and we don't want it to go away. And we invested a lot of time and heart into it. And I don't want to see Cosmos go down. No way. I don't know how to do it to prevent it. How about you, Chuck?
I don't know. I don't know other than to tell, like, say that something needs to be done, you know, and the community needs to, like, you know, drop whatever is going on, like, because, you know, the British are coming. Like that's what's happening.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Damn, I mean, British.
Any lawyer worth his salt will know when there's trouble. And then they basically say you're screwed. And I think Sean and I are at the point where Cosmos is about to get screwed. Not now, maybe not 2 years from now, but 3 years from now, I think Cosmos needs to get his shit together. They need to unite. But anyway, Jacob, you go ahead and talk about the factions and how they can possibly be put together if you have time for it.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay, check it out. So first of all, there are certain core issues, because I just tweeted about the factions and I tagged all of them. Because guess what? Do I think that Grace is great and AIB shouldn't have sued Grace and that might have triggered some SEC shit? Yes. Okay. Does that prevent me from ever collaborating with them to improve the circumstances on the hub? Well, I would sure fucking hope not. And what I mean by that is I am open to it any day of the week. And that actually goes for any of the other factions that I may have historically criticized. Okay, so get ready. That includes the ICF. That includes Informal. That includes Iclusion. That includes Strangelove. It's anybody. Okay. Hey, check this out. Gus, you were really critical of 95, right? You there?
But it was Adam 2.0. But had I known, well, yeah, I was very, very critical because I thought it would be a slippery slope. And I thought it'd be a money grab and all these carpetbaggers would come into the system and take away all our funds, which just seems to be happening to some degree. But yeah, I think 2.0 maybe was
really just one thing they funded that I didn't like. By the way,
sorry.
There's really just one thing under 95 that got funded that I don't like. Just one so far though, and I would have considered that like a matter that could have been resolved with greater diligence. But here's my point, right? So you were opposed, right? You were opposed, yeah.
Very opposed, yes.
Okay, excellent. Would you work with them to get the hub a lawyer to work for the hub?
I would, but the problem is I'm only working with one core of the whole equation. So the thing is that I want everyone covered by one legal team. So how do you do that? That's the ultimate question.
You know, I just had a thought of
you. Oh, like, you won't get everybody covered by one legal team, though. What you want the stakeholders covered by a legal team. All right.
Yeah, that's true. That's basically what I'm saying. Really
Sean or somebody, I think, was going to step up.
I was just saying that maybe a third party, like if this space were moderated, is a non-legal way to say mediated, a discussion between those groups. I think that might not be quite so far outside the boundaries of, you know. Anyone can moderate a discussion without being an expert at any law or anything like that.
It's true, yeah. Mediation is very important. I think it's very hard between the parties because of the Grace thing. And that's one thing, I mean, I will say it's recorded right now, but I think the Grace lawsuit was a very personal thing between her and All in Bits. And then Cosmos Hub got behind it. So that helped fractionalize, or actually relationships got hurt by that one. But the thing is, I don't know what's going on with Grace right now in that lawsuit. I haven't followed it, but when people take sides.
You gotta keep in mind that the lawsuit also, it cited me, but completely falsely as
conspiring. No, it had nothing to do with you. Don't worry about it. That was not,
thing to do with me. Because it had my goddamn name in it, in the goddamn Eastern District of goddamn New York.
And now, the SEC has the whole hub in a fucking filing.
Wait, hold on.
Thank you, Sean. Thank you. That's right. That's how retarded it was. But you know what? I'll work with AIB to get the hub a lawyer.
Cool. Listen, guys. No, that's not the case. The thing is that, Jacob, you just derailed me, my whole thinking right now. Go ahead, just keep talking.
No, it's your turn. That was my rant. That's my whole rant, because Sean's right. damn the whole.
Gray said nothing to do with the SEC. Nothing at all. I don't believe.
You're wrong. You're wrong.
Jacob.
Grace didn't have anything to do with the SEC. AIB triggered thine SEC on our asses.
Okay, give me one moment, please. And then I forgot what I was going to say. But the thing is, Jacob, you just ran in. You just like sat it to my mind. The thing is that what I'm trying to say is that, oh, for goodness sakes, I give up. When I get my thoughts together, I raise my hand.
I yield.
I didn't mean it as a direct result of the other. I'm just saying that, like, that you, what you're saying is like, yes, that issue happened. Now there's a bigger issue, like, than individuals in that thing. Like, now everybody's, like, including everyone that's holding Adam, everyone that's staking Adam, everyone that's been, you know, supporting every project in the whole fucking ecosystem, just got named in an SEC lawsuit as a security. So that should take precedent over, like, anything at all, like, everything.
And it does. Sean, can we invite Grace up here as a speaker? She just sent me a DM. She said she'd like to talk.
Well, I got a problem with Grace because Grace has a problem with me. But you know what, Grace? I still follow you. Yeah. You don't follow me. So, Grace, you're welcome to come up. No. Don't worry about it.
Don't be a don. Let's get Grace up.
I'm kidding. I like Grace a lot. Go ahead, Grace. We're going to invite you up if you want to speak. It's your choice. I support your case. And I don't know what's going on right now, but you're on, and you've been offered the mic.
Well, she's in that transitionary period, the purgatory of Twitter spaces, where, like, the mic is coming at you. And there's this changeover, there's silence, and here she is.
Hello, good evening.
Good morning.
Good morning, good evening.
Hi, Grace.
Hey, you know, guys, let's be honest. I've spent a considerable amount of time trying to help you understand the merits of what are the issues of material importance. And so one thing that I want to clarify here is I disagree with your ongoing representation of, or, you know, alluding to this lawsuit as some kind of, you know, relegating it to some, you know, cohort of, like, personal issues. It's not, there's nothing personal about how a founding organization or what the SEC will call or refers to as an active participant, as far as and how this active participant expresses managerial interest and entrepreneurial control in a decentralized network. That lawsuit shows up in a federal district court as an assertion of rights of an entrepreneurial control. They're expressing an intellectual property interest to censor code directly, not indirectly. And so when I talked about how this will have ramifications for disturbing a relatively clean regulatory surface for Adam, that's exactly what happened. So that this is not a personal issue. From the very beginning, it has always been a fundamental issue of public importance for all Adam holders. Why? Because if you were to ask 80% of Adam holders why they hold Adam, they'll tell you they're here for the good tech. Well, how the fuck do you think all this good tech happens? It's open source, is it not?
Yes, and this is why you should have a lawyer, because listen to how Grace articulates herself.
I have to say that Grace jumped between a personal thing that she and I had through personal communications and the overall subject matter. I think there was a huge jump in that logic, but go ahead, Grace. I have nothing against you. I support your case, and I told you that I would stop talking about it. In fact, I hosted a space with you in there.
I just told you talking about it 10 minutes ago, and you described it as a personal issue between myself and Jade Kwan. It is not a personal issue.
No. I said it was a personal issue between you and I.
No,
as far as,
no,
no,
no, no, no, no, no, no, no, no,
Jacob,
we got to zoom out. You don't want to hear about Kryptonium? I don't want to hear about your beef with Grace. Grace, I don't want to hear about your beef with
Grace. Hold on. Grace and I haven't talked. Jacob.
I'm going to do the camera thing like you do. You're going to have 1 minute. Okay, Jacob, give me one minute.
I got 1 minute. Okay, I got 1 minute. No. Grace and I agree with Grace on our lawsuit. I'm behind her 100%. She and I had some difficulties as far as presentation. My problem was that Grace associated herself with the Cosmos Hub and got a lot of support from the Cosmos Hub, which is great. But at the same time, it divides people. But you know, you need support, Grace. And the thing is that's your base of support. There are certain things, certain tactics that I totally disagreed with, but I'm not your counsel. So, I mean, I just gave you some suggestions as far as, hey, I'm not your attorney, but listen, I wouldn't do this, I wouldn't do that. And you decide to do stuff anyway. So that's okay. I mean, all the power to you. I have no gripes with you at all. But the jump between your and my personal communications and the actual issue at hand, that's a huge jump. And so can you please explain that gap, please?
I'm not referencing our personal conversations. When I came into this room, I first established that I've already invested a considerable amount of time giving you context, yes, of the so-called the alleged claims of the lawsuit and how this is not like a contract dispute. This actually has very little to do with my contract. It has very much to do as to how AIB shows up as far as their claims to be a transparent organization that is fully committed to FOSS values and best practices. If anything, if they're not just I would say mildly deviating from their public commitment, but you can say it's a radical departure from what they say that they are. You know, that one can go so far as to even suggest that it's a false and deceptive marketing practice. The reason why I wanted to speak is because I heard what you had said, you know, about 15 minutes ago, and your characterization of the lawsuit as some kind of personal conflict between myself and AIB. And I'm disappointed to hear you continue to characterize the dispute in such a manner when you seem to now profess and articulate that you do have understanding as far as how this issue actually has very direct ramifications and implications for how Adam is going to be perceived under SEC evaluation as they consider three very specific prongs, right?
Oh, there's four, but
I agree. Well, I'm
Jacob, I raise my hand if you don't mind, sir.
All right, you're in. Your hand gets you in. I yield.
Jacob, Grace, I cared more about your contract dispute. I looked at your whole suit as far as contracts. I don't look at it as far as the hub. And it's contract dispute. And whether their language was egregious or not, or whether it stands in the courts of New York or not, that's something. I was more worried about you. I looked at you more as if you were my client and I want to protect you, that would be the thing.
And I don't know how many times I have to say this, right? And what I'm communicating to you is I do not appreciate this kind of constant patronizing when I've already explained that I am under the very diligent counsel of legal counsel. And so
Grace, when you didn't have counsel, you were asking people for advice and they were giving you very bad advice. And I said, do not listen to them. I said, you can share the DMs. I mean, don't share them, please. But what I'm saying is that I said, shut the hell up. And I think Sean in this, Sean is a lawyer as well. And the worst thing you do, the worst thing a client can do is speak for themselves. Let your lawyers do the speaking for you. And that's all I was trying to do, is that everyone else is trying to speak for you. People were like, retweeting your tweets and adding their own commentary on Twitter.
What you don't understand is as early as the 29th of January, I had counsel. Everything that I've tweeted since the 29th of January has gone under very specific review of a lawyer that I had retained to make sure that it was going to minimize the risk of litigation. One thing that we do know is that even if facts, right, and if the law, even state, and even if state and federal statutes are on my side, there is nothing for the facts and the law being on my side to deter an irrational person from bringing a frivolous lawsuit, correct? And that's what happened. But as the reason why I continue to speak and the reason why I want to add emphasis to this is that speaking the truth is a defense, you know, for defamation, is it not? Right? And when you're sued for disparagement, the burden is on the petitioner to demonstrate economic harm. They can't demonstrate, they cannot connect or prove, demonstrably prove that there has been economic damage resultant of me talking about what essentially, you know, constitutes, these are unfair business practices. This is a hostile work environment, and you cannot invoke confidentiality clauses to give you cover to prevent employees from talking about, you know, an abusive work environment. You know, there are a variety of rules, you know, that are applicable here, from the FTC to the National Labor Relations Board, you know, and there's also the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. So I'm comfortable in saying what I have said, and I appreciate you admonishing and trying to encourage, you encouraging me to perhaps modify my speech. But I have the receipts. I am comfortable talking about what I have. the things that. The revelations that I've made as far as the organizational practices of AIB are concerned. I'm sorry, I'm still getting over my COVID. So my voice is getting hoarse.
Grace, if I may add, there's just one thing. I do care about the outcome of your case, and I do care about the stress it takes on you. And that's why in the beginning I tried to warn you about a lot of things. A lot of things that will come down the road.
I don't need you to warn me.
Lawyers. You're not my client. It's just, yes, it's just.
Right. Why do you continue to persist trying to bracket my speech?
I have not tweeted about you in ages. The thing is, we're having a space right now. Jacob, please.
Give me a
moment, if you don't mind, please. Thing is, Grace, is that you were brought up because Jacob brought you up. And the thing is, what you said that caused the whole case in the first place, the whole complaint in the first case, that was the speech you made at that time. The thing is, what you say after the suit is filed, right? I was trying to stent that and say, listen, what you said during that time and what he's suing you about is one thing, and what you say after is another thing.
It's not another thing if it's materially, if the material, if it remains the same.
Sean, do you have any thoughts about this?
Grace, I really have respect for you, and I don't think we've had any communication before, but all of the things that you're saying are definitely a legal argument that you have. And they can be based in, but they're not factual statements applicable to like the case 100%. Like there's a court and a jury and a whole other side. And like you're articulating yourself very well. And I think that it's great that you got counsel. And I'm sorry for like everything that you've gone through. But stating it as fact in this space is just like the only thing that I.
No, what I'm stating as fact is the confidence is that I continue to have requisite confidence and comfort in what I am able to say. And that's predicated on the fact that I believe what I say is true, because when I have to prove these things, right, before a jury, you know, in within a litigation process, I can do these things. And, you know, therefore, that's why I'm saying I believe the preponderance of fact, and therefore the law continues to be on my side. And therefore, I've rationalized, I've considered all of the risks. And in the end, I still think it's the reason why I started talking about these things is because I do care about atom holders and relevant interests, you know, or, you know, effectively, you know, every token holder is a shareholder of the network. Are they not? You know, is there an owner of Cosmos? Who owns Cosmos?
I think that this space is kind of having, that's what the space was, kind of a debate on whether or not some of the things you're stating, I guess, is fact, like that, not about your factual circumstances of your case, but as like whether or not we're shareholders, or whether or not the FTC rules apply, or whether like those things are very much not factual statements.
It's not a factual statement, and if anything, it's a speculative statement. But taking into consideration what we understand as far as the Howey test is concerned, what the framework of evaluation consists of, what they look at, how they go about assessing who is an active participant, how do you go about qualifying the relevant activities of an active participant, and therefore, you know, what kind of analysis does that lead to? We can talk about that. Absolutely. It is perhaps more art than science, you know, in part because the SEC itself has not been very clear as far as what the framework, what the applicable framework is going to be, correct? But I do feel that I have a reasonable amount of confidence in saying that as far as Adam, you know, containing or possessing the relatively clean attributes, you know, of a token, again, that has a relatively cleaner regulatory surface, you know, than other digital assets. I don't think that it's, I don't think it's a reach to say that. And Saki shared, you know, some thoughts as to how Adam does possess a very unique history as a digital asset. Unfortunately, a lot of, you know, the novelty of that history is disturbed and compromised by the assertions, you know, or what AIB Avers, as its right, you know, as a private company in the Eastern District of New York. That's what I'm saying. It's also one of the shittier jurisdictions to sue someone as a crypto, you know, company. It's
I just wanted to be clear about that for just everybody listening. It's not necessarily been established in any way that like those laws are necessarily applicable. But that's
right. So when Gus tells me to modify my speech, I'm not talking about they're not statements as to how I think the SEC is therefore going to assess, you know, Adam as a digital asset. He's talking about me modifying my speech with respect to what I experience, what I know, what I understand, you know, as far as like, you know, everything from how AIB goes about using restrictive covenants in employment contracts, how they have tried to create enforcement of these restrictive covenants via, you know, the use of severance, and how they've been incorporated into, you know, employee termination agreements. That's fact. There's no interpretation, you know, that's not like my subjective take. So as far as, you know, he doesn't have the better knowing. And so yes, he can, you know, suggest that I stop talking about it. But the reason why I feel confident in talking about what I witnessed, what I observed, what I experienced, is because it's not very subjective. You know, the AIB now has a rather long and established history of behaving in a specific manner. And we understand that Jay has a bit of, you know, an established pattern as far as his preference for control, you know, and consolidation of power is concerned. And so as far as, you know, the mistreatment of developers, you know, creating restraints on trade and then restraints on speech, the last thing as a community member that I want to hear is someone telling me, well, you probably don't know what happened in your own experience, which is what I hear him insinuating. And that upsets me. Does that make sense?
Does that mean me or does that mean Jay? I have one question. Based on what you heard, Sean, if Grace was your client and she went through this whole thing with Jay and All in Bits, and was being sued by All in Bits for supposedly violating her NDA and her contract, and she's out there on Twitter. No, hold on, Grace. She was out there on Twitter and after the fact, tweeting stuff. Would you condone that? That's a question for you.
I'm just not going to comment on it. I'm sorry. I can't either.
But the thing is what I try to do is I said, listen, let your lawyers do it. You're being represented by some very good people. You're very smart, Grace, and that's one of your flaws, I think. And you know a lot, and that's another flaw. And I would say to my, if Grace was my client, I would say, I quit. You know, that's what any, that's, I mean, it has nothing to do with you as a person, has everything to do with you as a client. I think maybe Sean might agree with that part. I'm Grace. I'm tired. I'm not, you know, Jacob brought it up and then I said, listen, what does Grace have to do with it? Basically. Sorry, Grace.
I mean, just very simple. It's not complicate this. I'm not your client, am I? And so
you are not.
What you want to say, say what you want to say. Don't preface it by saying, if you were my client, I'm not your client, and I don't want to listen to you. I've heard what you had to say, and it's not relevant,
Grace,
to me.
Go ahead and just post away then. Okay. I mean, that's not my advice.
Hi everyone, Grace. I totally support you. I know you're absolutely right in this. However, just a thing, when you put tweets out there and stuff, you open the door for people to comment and give opinions and stuff like that. Luckily Gus is actually a lawyer. So although he is not your lawyer, you know, it may be good sometimes to get another legal opinion. You know, just that he doesn't come from a while the earth sleeps and but stuff
not,
like that.
Matt, yes. May I just inject here for a moment? Not all legal opinions, you know, are the same. This is a very underdeveloped area of case law because, first of all, there are no federal anti-SLAPP statutes. They don't exist. So one of the reasons why this case is so complicated is because we have to look at how New York State anti-SLAPP statutes might apply in this matter. It's also not strictly, you know, a defamation or a disparagement case or a contractual dispute. It also does involve aspects of employment law. And so if Gus wants to preface what he wants to say by saying, I am not your lawyer, perhaps he can establish exactly what kind of lawyer he is. What is your area of expertise, Gus, as a lawyer? Where did you practice?
My jurisdiction is Indian law in the Indian country. And so that's where I practice. And that's my jurisdiction, period. And that's all you need to know. Grace, you and I know each other through other means. And the thing is that I'm just stating common sense, is that you don't let the client represent themselves. That's all I'm trying to say. I mean, no matter what your degrees are, where you went to school, no matter how heady you think you are, you do not let your client represent themselves. It's very friggin' simple. Time immortal, okay? I'm not representing myself. But you are representing yourself by going out there and tweeting stuff. You know what I mean? You're tweeting tons of stuff. Just if someone was your lawyer, any lawyer worth their salt would say, Grace, we'll take care of it. In the meantime, just shut down, let the world wonder. Okay? I mean, I'm not your lawyer. I'm surprised I spent this amount of time trying to convince you. Just like, please get off your podium about the whole thing. And it's about contracts. It's about employment law. It's not about the cosmos.
It's not just about contracts. And it's not just about employment law. I just told you it also has a lot to do with how New York State slap statutes, anti-slap statutes might apply.
That is true. You have
right?
a point.
And what do you there, understand yes. about federal law and procedure? Have you ever tried a federal case?
No, I have not.
You have not. Are you familiar with New York anti-slap statutes?
No, I'm not.
Are you familiar with employment law?
To some extent, yes.
To some extent. So I would say, as far as the three areas of expertise that I require for counsel, you don't have a sufficient amount of experience. Nevertheless, every time you have something to say to me, if I were your lawyer, you're not my lawyer. And I don't know how many times I have to tell you, I have already reviewed everything that I have tweeted with counsel. And you know what? They're okay with it. Do you know why they're okay with it? Because, again, it's a combination of what I can prove. I have the receipts. And then in tandem, it's also I say these things not out of private interest. It's a matter of public interest. It's called whistleblowing. Do you know that? You should know something about whistleblowing if you practiced in Indian country, right?
Go ahead, Sean. I'm done.
Grace, is the Cosmos Hub a security, in your opinion? That's what this space is about. Do you want to contribute to that conversation in any way? I don't mean to mean what you said. I just think it's a good point where you've stated everything that you're stating, and Gus has stated what he stated, and we're going to go in circles here.
I love the direction you're taking this, Sean, because I think there's a whole lot of securities law stuff we could talk about. There's a whole lot of Hub needs a lawyer stuff we could talk about.
Yeah.
And
Grace is.
Also, I mean, I'm going to take Grace aside here for a second here. I believe that a lot of the stuff in the SEC Binance filing, I believe it came from the AIB lawsuit. But hey. I am just a nerd, so what do I know? But that's certainly my firm belief. Actually, that was my big-ass fear, too, and the reason I supported Prop 791 to fund Grace's legal defense. But now we're in a new state. Grace has a lawyer, and we got to get the Hub a lawyer.
Or, Grace, we would like your opinion, I guess, on the SEC filing that named Adam and kind of what you think about that. I mean, you're definitely a knowledgeable, like well-versed person in this ecosystem. Well,
this is actually where my lawyers have encouraged me to exercise extra caution. And so I actually reviewed like any set of talking points that they feel comfortable with me sharing publicly, and it only consists they basically okayed only like one bullet point, which is basically, you know, it's my opinion. I'm of the opinion that fortunately the fact is, as mentioned, you know, Adam's history from token offering to the manner in which, you know, Cosmos Hub was launched, and also how code has been developed and the multiplicity of use cases and the ongoing propagation of code. You know, we have all of the manifest, you know, characteristics of a decentralized network. The issue is there happens to be a pleading in a certain federal district court right now that contradicts, you know, our strongest arguments as far as the characteristics of us being sufficiently decentralized. And the sufficiently decentralized test is one of, you know, I would say it's not a like a deterministic factor, but it is a factor.
Everyone, I'm going to be leaving this space. I've had my fill. No, I'm going to be leaving it. Now, Grace, it's good to see you again.
And, we got to get a hot lawyer going. No, I'm going to let you go, but like, Sean, please don't go.
I've got very hard feelings on certain things, and so, well, I mean.
We had a hard feeling.
No, not hard feelings, but no, Grace is a good person, and she's very, very intelligent.
You lawyers
smart.
Are just like software engineers. You got your heart on your sleeve.
No. Jacob, can you give me a moment while I say goodbye, if you don't mind? I wish the best you, Grace, and I told you in a DM, I said, listen, I'm not going to ever talk about this or tweet about this until Jacob brought it up in this conversation. And I said, basically, what does it have to do with the hub? So I wish you the best. And I'm on your side in this whole thing. In fact, I'm very much on your side, so much on your side that I disagree with you. So I'm going to bid everyone a good night. And Grace, good luck to you. And I hope you win the case. And good night. Thank you. Bye bye.
Good night, guys.
All right. So that happened.
That makes me feel bad. I hope I didn't make him feel uncomfortable.
No, don't be a software engineer. You can't have feelings. Software engineers have a lot of feelings. We have too many.
This is one of the like subjects of like debate here, or like discussion is like, can we get the people that argue, not necessarily, we didn't even mention you, you were probably listening, but it's like the different factions of, you know, the Cosmos Hub to get behind the idea that, hey, we're in an SEC filing right now. Maybe it's a time to, take that as seriously as you can. You know, can we get together on like doing something that's important for all of us, even though there are all these arguments going on? I think it was kind of prophetic.
How would you find the defense for Adam?
I mean, there's going to have to be some response at some point from something, you know, and I think that just like you articulated your position very well, because you're clearly have lawyers and you knew where to stop when you needed to stop and not, I think the hub greatly needs that at this moment. Would you agree with that? Would you be willing to contribute to that conversation?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, to the extent I can contribute, it's not an area of expertise that I have, but I'm also a bit encumbered as far as like sharing the full spectrum like of my thoughts with relation to it, because it can be grossly misinterpreted that I'm trying to, you know, propagate fear, uncertainty, and doubt, you know, as, you know, a form of like psychological capital, you know, to socially engineer support for my case, which I would never do. But, you know, for the avoidance of doubt, there are some things that, you know, I can't provide commentary on.
Great. I think that actually then really helps the space quite a bit, because there's a lot of conflicting like stuff going on in the space, and this affects like everyone. And at some point, we're either going to come together on figuring that out, or something not great is going to happen with the whole hub, I think. So I'm going to let David talk. I see his hand up.
Okay. I wanted to say something real quick. We are going to come together on it. We are going to get Fat Guy a lawyer at the end. Please, next person, come on up. Sorry to interrupt.
But who's going to fund it? How are we going to fund it?
Hub governance, and we're just going to do it, Grace. We're just going to do it, and they're going to represent the stakeholders and this, that. And the
that's
reason...
Not, Grace, he's just he's goading you. Like, we're having a discussion about...
I'm goading nobody. I'm very serious about this.
Yeah, but you're not the one that gets... I mean, I know that like that is your personal view on what should happen, but it's like... I think it, like, it's an open discussion and needs to be kind of decided with everybody, you know, how and what. I mean, I think my opinion was earlier that I think whatever lawyer would do would probably do it pro bono because they wouldn't want to receive money from this and be in federal court representing it, honestly. But anyway.
Why wouldn't a lawyer want to get paid for representing Adam?
I don't personally think that if it were me, I would do it pro bono if I was a, you know, lawyer that was doing this. But
and where were you 2 months ago when I was looking for a lawyer?
keeping my mouth shut and not talking to you about anything. I have no comment on that. I don't want to represent Adam in this case at all. I'm just basically, this was the British are coming, I said earlier, you know, like the sounding mm-hmm. the alarm kind of thing. Like, guys, I'm a lawyer enough to know we need a lawyer. Like, mm-hmm. and that's kind of what the conversation has been thus far.
Wait, but Sean, is there some sort of implication with the idea of being paid up front from the community pool that you're saying that a lawyer should avoid? Like, I'm just trying to understand.
I'm just saying that the law is very, very unclear on what is going on here. And representing Grace against, you know, with a theory that is, you know, based on a bunch of different laws that can be articulated very well.
Wait, I'm not talking about representing Grace. I'm talking about representing.
No, I'm saying that is something that a lawyer can do that would get, you know, I would rather take. Yes, it is difficult to figure out how to get paid by an unregistered potential security for, like, in Adam tokens or whatever the hell it would be right. to, like, go into the Ninth Circuit and argue this in front of, like, the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Like, I think that someone would do it that loves Adam. I think someone would do it that loves crypto, but I don't know that somebody would be like, yeah, let's pay me some money and I'll head in there and do it and pay me in Cosmos. That's what I guess I'm saying.
But actually, you are aware that the use of tokens for legal defense is actually one of the points that the SEC will factor into as to whether or not there is an active participant involved. So I do believe it's a question of, you know, there's a question of who's even going to be on the engagement letter, right? Like, who is the client if there is a legal team for Adam?
Yeah, it's a complicated issue that I'm not qualified to represent. I just know that.
So, like when I actually had to find legal counsel for when I was at AIB. One of the principal responsibilities that I had there was to spin out the Ignite product division. And when I came, I learned that actually that our legal representatives were also AIB's lawyers. I did not feel comfortable with that situation. I felt that NewCo requires independent counsel that has no affiliation or work history, particularly with AIB. And so when I structured an engagement with a law firm to represent, to help structure the new entity and whatnot, no one was actually on the engagement letter, like no specific person. It was the future entity to be formed. So I do think that there can be some, you know, creativity and flexibility as to how this engagement letter actually gets architected. I don't think that it's that in and of itself is prohibitive. I don't think also because there is a legal defense for Adam that it's more incriminating. Like it depends. I think we're in a new, like in a very novel area, but you know, the thing that needs to be done is there needs to be some form of defense. And so it's a question of how do we go about galvanizing and organizing, so not just support, but resources for this. So if not the hub, you know, how can we go about raising resources, capital, you know, money for this? Because I don't know, in the situation that there isn't a legal team that is willing to do this pro bono, and if we do have to raise money, what is the best way we can raise funds for this?
I do think that's a pretty good question. Nada and Chubb have had their hands up for a while. Why don't we, I think it was Nada first and then Chubb. And then I think we're circle back to that. Okay, Grace.
That's, yeah, no, that's cool.
Thanks.
hey, so I think that the SEC, right, it's the Securities and Exchange Commission. And what they've sued right now is exchanges. They aren't coming after, they haven't sued Cosmos. They haven't alleged that Cosmos is a security outside of this particular complaint with Coinbase and the complaint with Binance. And in both cases, they were offering this staking as a service where they would, you know, take an investment of other people's money. And they, those people had an expectation of a return on it. And the problem was that Coinbase and Binance did things with this investment that were essentially like a private business. Those stakers had no control over what was going on, what risks they were exposed to, what risk of loss or theft or whatever. And so in effect, these exchanges securitized all of these tokens. And this is an important and subtle point about securities laws, that securities mutate. Something that's a security one year can stop being a security the next year if it changes in some material or substantial way. And so even just within circumstances, like we can say that on Binance and on Coinbase, Atom is a security because of this staking as a service. That doesn't mean that Atom, the token and the Cosmos Hub, is a security. So that's like a first distinction I would make. And I think that the SEC is focusing on exchanges because it's far easier for them to do. They've tried to take down chains like Ripple, which in theory should be a slam dunk easy case for them, but you can see how even that has like been dragged out. So I don't think that they're especially eager to sue chains and go after chains at this moment. They are going to look to see if they can force settlements from Binance and from Coinbase and see what they can get there, what admissions they can potentially get from them. And so we have this like narrow, like Sean and Gus were saying, we have this window of opportunity here where we need to organize the hub. Actually, we need to organize every chain on Cosmos. Every community pool should have a legal wrapper around it. Every community pool should be able to have a legal defense fund. And these wrappers and these funds should be used, like Jacob said, to protect stakers' interest. And that's it. And that's the, I haven't heard, I think Grace, you mentioned that the SEC might consider if tokens are used in a legal defense fund, but I haven't heard that. And that's certainly not a criteria in the Howey test, but partly because the Howey test is 80 years old. I mean, they may make some argument there, but it would be important to note that that would have to be an argument that would have to be litigated. And it shouldn't deter us from pursuing that. So I think that we have to organize chains. We have to get them legal wrappers. And I think the process for doing this is outlined in the Atom 1.0 paper. It says that every distributed public ledger should have a constitution. And none of our Cosmos chains have constitutions, as far as I'm aware. This is a first step to forming these types of decision making bodies that can handle these big questions and large issues that individually all of us in a Twitter space aren't going to be able to resolve. So thank you. That's all I had to say.
Yeah, and thank you for restating that for people that haven't been here. That was also something that I was trying to distinguish earlier very clearly, is that like I don't think Atom is a security. I think that Atom was securitized clearly by Coinbase. They staked it. They never gave possession of the token to the person. So they invested money and they were expecting a return through the pure efforts of Coinbase and got that return without ever taking custody themselves. I don't think self-custody and self-delegation of tokens is there, but we need to make sure at this moment when we're all getting lumped together into this lawsuit that we take advantage of the fact that we need to distinguish that while people are listening. Because if people just, if that case, maybe it won't have a direct outcome on us. Maybe it will. There might be findings of fact by the judges that do find that these things are, like, it's possible that they can find other things necessary in that case that do affect us directly. So just wanted to throw that out there and then pass it to Treb.
Hey, what's up, guys? Thanks for having me on. Just I have a real quick question. Wasn't did Atom or Cosmos like, wasn't there an ICO, like a fundraising round?
Yes, there was, and I believe it was 75% of the tokens were sold through that funding round. 5% went to VCs or the biggest investors. 10% went to AllInBits, and 10% went to the company that I believe is now the Interchain Foundation.
Okay, got you. And my second question was, you know, obviously I hear it all the time, but this is supposedly decentralized, right? Like Atom, Cosmos, this is a decentralized movement.
It's decentralized as in there are, yeah. I mean, there's no one individual person or one group of people that are necessarily in charge of anything. Everything goes through like on-chain governance. So if anything wants to be changed in the hub or anything wants to be done in the hub, it has to go through governance where you have your ability to vote based on your amount of Atom that you hold. And then you also have the ability to delegate your tokens to validators. Like it's kind of like representation for you, and you can change your delegation if you don't agree with the way that that validator is voting. Yes, I mean, it is, I believe it's decentralized to quite an extent, more than a lot of other things.
Okay. No, I just compare stuff like that to Bitcoin and its decentralization properties. So for me, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just stupid, but if there is an ICO and you're raising money, like just that point alone is kind of, you know, so the whole securities talk is, I don't want to be negative, but it's pretty obvious.
I think that my recollection is that it was not like it basically Atom as a token was a public good for a long time. Like there was not much you could do with it. There still isn't like terribly too much, but the team made like inner blockchain communication for everybody. So
and like, who's the team? Like, you know, like you're saying someone's getting sued. Like if this is a decentralized chain or whatever, like how are there people being targeted? I don't understand.
There's just it, because it's decentralized, there are people within it that can, you know, act freely however they want to with each other. But again, anything that is directly like related to on like the chain itself or changes to the chain have to go through on chain governance. And then people are voted, like, say, I think Notional, who's in here, is implemented an upgrade before, and that gets audited, and other people go through it. Does that make sense to you, or am I not explaining this well? Like even Bitcoin gets
updated. No, you're explaining it. Yeah, you're explaining it.
Bitcoin gets updated too. Ethereum gets updated too. It's just you know, somebody's got to do it, but nobody can do whatever they want or alter the chain in any way without going through on-chain governance, which requires a voting process and like a sufficient amount of votes to get past the point. There's no, you can answer no, you can abstain, you can veto. I mean, there's a whole system of governance there to kind of check and balance that.
Yeah, I hear you. I just think at its core, it's just missing a lot of the other side of things, you know, like Bitcoin had a fair launch. There was no ICO, like there's no community pool in that sense. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that are different. I hear you with the
it's the only chain
stuff, but like, you know,
Bitcoin is the most decentralized chain there is. It is the only chain that did not start, you know, and even it started with, you know, a group of developers that maybe we don't know, but there was a team there that started. But yes, Bitcoin is by far the most decentralized that possible. But we're doing our best. I think we're doing a real good job.
Bitcoin, yeah. Oh, round of applause from the noise box. Yeah.
We don't know exactly how. Letitia James is the Attorney General for New York, and she filed a lawsuit against KuCoin. And in that complaint, right, I thought it was really interesting that the AG's office considers Ethereum to be a security again. And apparently this is something that can be dynamic just because you were considered to be sufficiently decentralized 2 years prior does not mean that that's like an assessment that will stick and will you know, like an assessment that will hold. And so I, from what I recall, what they mentioned in that complaint is that by shifting to proof of stake, that Ethereum was no longer like it relies upon. It's not just like competition between computers, but it relies on a pooling method, you know, that incentivizes users, you know, to own a stake ETH. And then she also, you know, went on to explain that, you know, this pivot, you know, you know, this transition was made possible with the concentrated coordination coming from the Ethereum Foundation, and therefore it's no longer sufficiently decentralized.
Facts.
Yeah, and Shub, the other thing that I guess I maybe didn't state properly is that Atom is staked, where that means that it's we provide economic security to the hub and secure the network by basically right now, I think 70 something percent of all the tokens in Cosmos Hub are locked. So there's the security being provided by like the fact that that is not like something that can just like be dumped onto the market and the validators can like deal with that system. And it's just a different model than proof of work. I'm not sure how to correctly.
Well, I understand proof of stake, bro. I understand it. I'm not really a fan, to be honest. The only reason I know about Atom and Cosmos and all that is through Luna, pretty much. Like one of my Korean buddies told me early on, and then this guy was buying Bitcoin, and you know, I was like, oh, okay, cool. You know, something's happening, but I don't know. I'm just maybe just not a fan of that whole proof of stake thing, just because. You could still attract bad actors, and you know, yeah, you know the difference between the two. I don't gotta say much.
Hey, Chubby, the way Binance and KuCoin and stuff they do this the staking stuff and the whole case of the security, they even do it for Bitcoin too. They say that they call it staking, and you just take your Bitcoin, and then they will give you return on it. So it applies also to Bitcoin, although it is not a security.
Hey. Yeah, I can't stake my Bitcoin with the Bitcoin network and get rewarded. You know, that's not how it works.
No,
it's different. That's completely different.
No, of course, I do know this, but the way they offer it on the platform, they call it staking. Everybody calls everything staking, even though they're not securing the chain. Of course, we are all aware of this, but they call it staking. Stake your Bitcoin, and then you will get like a 2% on a APY.
Yeah, right. But aren't if you're staking Atom or you're staking whatever, aren't you as the end user also getting staking rewards? So isn't that?
Yeah, you're also not able to sell out of your position at any point when the market fluctuates. So you're absorbing a lot of the short term volatility without the ability to just leave. So you're doing something that is benefiting the hub, benefiting the security of the system, And you're also paying the price of watching your total value of your token go down and not having the ability to sell it for at least 21 days if you wanted to. So there's definitely a trade-off for that. And I think the reward is more than fair.
Cool, cool. Has there been any Pepe bridges or liquidity pools or anything like that?
Yep. Osmosis has a Pepe pool, I believe. Is that correct? Oh, and correct me if I'm wrong.
Is Pepe a security, Chubby? And is it decentralized?
Well, it's an ERC-20 token, so take it for what it is. But the contract's been renounced. There's no tax on the transaction. So, it's actually, no one can really control it. The distribution looks pretty nice. I'd argue, there's even Bitcoin spaces and Bitcoin maxis who are now talking about Pepe and all that, you know, but yeah, I don't think it's at all a security.
That's good. It's a shitcoin with tokenomics, right?
Yeah, it's a shitcoin with memetics.
Okay, I think Chubb, did we get through answering your question there?
Yeah.
Cool. So guys, I'm not sure how long we've been doing this, but I thought I had it for an hour. It's been quite some time, but I'll keep going as long as you guys want to keep going. Somebody just raise their hand and come up and speak, and please contribute to the conversation, because I think it's been like a very fruitful space, like probably one of the most fruitful I've been in a long time. Does anyone have anything that they'd like to mention or discuss related to Cosmos, related to the ecosystem, related to the legal thing, really anything?
You guys don't want to talk about
no crickets. It's very simple. Goddamn hominies, okay, goddamn lawyer. We're gonna get the Hubble lawyer.
Yeah. We'll get the lawyer. Yo, you guys don't want to talk about Pepe?
Yeah. I've been through too many cycles to get near Pepe, dude. I mean, Jesus.
Nah, don't say it. So you know, bro. Dogen Sheev gave legs so Pepe could run, bro. Pepe is the number one meme. Ask ChatGPT right now. I know you have ChatGPT. Ask ChatGPT what is the best meme in the world. Oh my
god.
Just read.
You haven't been rugged yet, man.
Oh, trust me, bro. I've been around, bro. And I haven't.
He said he was in Terra, man.
I've been rugged, bro. I've been rugged. But this is different. This doesn't happen every day. This isn't fucking Adam Inu, bro. This is not Adam Inu.
I can't understand being concerned about the security of Cosmos and not being concerned about Pepe, but I'm willing to hear an argument about it if you have one. I'm pretty sure that there are clearly on chain. Look on chain is a Twitter account I follow that posts a lot of really interesting stuff. I saw five wallets that bought $24 worth of Pepe, which was about 30% of the entire supply, and then sold it all and swapped it on ETH into ETH at the top of the very, very top. So, I mean, it is what it is. It's right on chain.
It is what it is, bro. It started with $4,000 in liquidity. Like, you know, you heard about it on Twitter. This is the people's coin, bro. This is way better than a fucking, sorry, excuse me. No, but it don't get more grassroots and organic than that, if you ask me.
I don't know what the utility of it is, or
there's absolutely no utility, bro. Like, you go on their website, pepe.vip. There's no utility, no roadmap. It's just memes, bro. It's just memes. Tell me what's the utility of Shiba Inu, bro, and why it went to 50 billion.
Because people like Chubbs go out there and buy it. Why the coin actually goes up is because they're, at least in my opinion, is they're extracting maximum extractable value from you. And there's bots that run all day while you trade. and steal by front running the fees that you're paying and make money in ungodly amounts just by taking the amount of fee you're willing to accept in slippage, finding a cheaper price, and then putting it into the block beforehand. That's why those coins exist, in my opinion.
That's what happens with every coin, though, bro. Like, bots and shit, market makers, like, that's what, true with everything. You can't corner Pepe into this, or, like, you know, or, like, a shit coin, quote-unquote, into that, and just be like, oh, no.
I'm saying that's where the value is being derived right now. I don't think it's necessarily to the holders.
So you don't think there's a community? You don't think there's 117,000 holders on-chain in 2 months? You don't think there's Pepe spaces every day filled of people? You don't think Pepe Fest is tomorrow, 6/9 at 4:20 p.m. worldwide in like fucking 20 cities? Bro, 5 million tweets a day?
I'm not saying that I know everything about Pepe. I'm just saying I've been through quite a few of these experiences, and I wouldn't personally bet my life on Pepe. It looks like
Never. You shouldn't bet your life or anything you're not willing to lose on anything. That's just not smart, right? But
yeah. Let's let Finn give a talk. I just saw. Sorry, Finn. I didn't mean to violate you again.
Great conversation. I was just taking some notes here, and you mentioned something about bots that run all day and front run and make money. Where could I get one of those bots, or maybe like 100 of them?
Dude, all you have to do is Google it. It's right on YouTube.
Also, Chubbs, I asked Bardo. I don't fuck with ChatGPT because I'm an Android Google guy, but I asked Bardo, and Bardo is fucking all fucked up and said the best meme is the boyfriend looking back at the girl walking meme. So I don't know what you're talking about. AI changes daily, though, so it's okay. Are you going to Pepe Fest? Which Pepe Fest are you going to?
First of all, bro, that's fake news. Anyone who has ChatGPT, please, I'll put a bet on it. There's a million people in this room. Somebody
type. I won't let that anywhere near my devices. I'm sorry.
If it says anything other than Pepe, I'll send you 100 Atom right now.
How many Pepe is that? 400 trillion?
Yeah, that might be a lot of Pepe. You might be a Pepe billionaire with that.
Which Pepe right. Fest are you going to, Chubbs?
Nah, me, I'm not going to one, bro. I'm not going to one still.
You shilled,
can't afford it,
right?
No, it's
pretty, he shilled all us on it, but he's not going. Okay.
I wish I could go. I'm contributing though, but I can't make it.
Awesome. So, Jacob, lawyers, how do we do it? Do you just want me to start going through law school? I'll be like 58 by the time I'm done. Will that be too late?
Oh.
Wait, how many years is law school? Four?
Three.
I'll do it in two, online.
Please, Finn, don't do that. You're going to be rapping your opening statement.
Bro, could you imagine? Just gets up there and roasts the defense. Just drops the mic. All right, I'm sorry. I know this was a serious conversation. I just couldn't help myself because you brought fucking Jester Clown Chubbs up here to fucking talk about Pepe.
Bro, why are you calling me a clown, bro?
And Gus rage quit. It's a amazing, amazing space, you guys. All 3.5 hours of it.
Yeah, I apologize. I really hope I didn't, scare Gus away. It's just, in fairness, I feel like we don't really progress community conversations forward, you know, so long as we keep on characterizing things as like, oh, that must be a personal dispute. And so I just want to continue to add emphasis to the fact that actually, yes, of course, there are elements of personal in it, but the preponderance of this conflict really is what I believe to be matters of public importance for our community. And that's why I continue to talk about it. And
yeah, for sure. And you know how he is. And like, he wouldn't be like that if he didn't care. But then he starts to kind of get into his glass a little. And then, you know,
But
yeah, and I think, you know, for this with our leadership, to the extent that it exists in the ecosystem and I in community side as well, we tend to be really conflict avoidant. And sometimes when you avoid the hard conversations, the problems metastasize. And I think this is what has been happening, you know, in short, you know, in the cosmos for a better part of, you know, 4 or 5 years. And so, yeah, it's difficult. It's unknown. And there's a lot of novelty, you know, in like these, you know, these are highly layered issues, but we should talk about it. We should deconstruct it together and, you know, rationalize via, you know, a collective, you know, discourse. But if we keep on saying, oh, that's personal, you know, we don't know anything about that. Well, the person who's willing to provide information, you know, so that we can have an informed conversation happens to be in the space. And so I didn't like, you know, the insinuation that I should just mute myself because it's a disservice to me. And I also do think it's a disservice to the community.
I think Jacob and I were just, I think the first thing that we got like together on was I went on some rant in some space that had nothing to do with it about how awesome it is that everyone just argues and can do whatever the hell they want in Cosmos. And like, we all still kind of get it like together, you know, like that. It's like, it's a place where we and like can really, and that was the original idea of this space or maybe a couple spaces ago before the SEC suit, was just like trying to come together and like push that like notion, you know, just together, like that we are not the same because we like actually fight. We actually like have a reasonable discourse and like differing opinions and like lots of different stuff going on. It's not just like the hub tells you this is what happens and you just do it. It's like there, if somebody does something that we don't think is ethical or right, and they like it gets blown up. I mean, it's crazy the kind of stuff that goes on. But it's necessary, I think, for a chain to survive forever, to have that kind of like vigilance behind like, what is this? What is that? What is going on here? Or, you know, I thought that's like the best part about the hub. It just makes it
difficult. It's like growing pains too, right? It's basically just growing pains of new technology. And this one just happens to be global. And I mean, you see it in normal everyday life where people in cities in the same countries and states can't even agree on anything. And here you have a fully globalized system and you definitely won't agree on everything or half the things, you know, but that's like part of what makes it dope.
Yeah, it's just I've been in other communities and there is nothing like this, at least in my opinion. There's nothing even close where like the stuff that we like, that stuff that goes on. I mean, and it's awesome. You know, there's not that every situation is awesome, but just the amount of discourse that goes on between people.
I like that Jacob is so hardcore that he shaved a whale butt into the back of his head for decentralization.
You know, I said, you know, well, actually, I thought that all my hair was coming off. Okay, that's what I thought. I didn't know what the hell a hair tattoo was.
Did you not shave the rest of it after you took the picture? Are you just rocking the whale butt?
I just have the whale butt. It's like, party, it's whale butt in the back and business in front, I guess.
Business, yeah. In front, that's awesome. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I guess you could say that's business in the back and business in the front, but yeah.
Jacob, one day I'm going to take a year off and you're going to teach me to code and I'm going to fly down there and just hang out with you for the year and learn how to code.
You know, drop by. That's how we roll.
Just download ChatGPT, dude.
Actually, don't say that. No. Bro's got a point, but it's like, it's not really the best learning tool. I find that the more you know, the more you can do with ChatGPT.
Well, yeah, you got to know when it's bullshitting you. You can't just take his fucking word for it. I mean, shit. But if you don't know, you don't know. And then you take its word for it. And then, you know, you end up with shit.
Yeah, I've done interesting things with it. I've also you know, produce shit with it. Yeah. It's real.
I always ask mine, I say, GM Bardo, how are you feeling this morning? And it always tells me it's always feeling good, which I find kind of odd, but okay. And then I ask it what I need. You gotta be nice to these things.
So,
I
mean, so you're a Bard user? Well, let me tell you, man, Bard is way more awake than
Bard goes hard. Bard definitely goes hard. Bard will draw you a picture of a cat while it's giving you stock picks. It don't give a fuck.
Yeah, Bard really don't give a fuck. You're right.
All right, I'm sorry. I'm gonna step down. You guys continue your space. It was a good chat with you guys. So.
No, for sure, man. I just want to, like, at some point we got to wrap this up. But I don't want to do that without, like.
Well, I mean, let's wrap it. I mean, I'm good to wrap it.
I want to make sure that we have like a next step or a next space or a next, you know, building place. Like Jacob saying that we just have a lawyer now is like not a clear.
We got to get one for the hub, for Fat Guy. Okay. So not for Notional, not for AIB, not for Grace, not for Informal, not for the ICF. Not for Strangelove, not for Iclusion, not for Binary Builders. Trust me, we all have lawyers. The hub needs a lawyer who represents stakeholders. And I mean, look, if the government can come at this weird ass internet thing that we built, and you know, we baked what's effectively a mutual aid society into the weird ass thing that we built. Well, we might as well use it. That's my vibe.
I guess, how do we propose that we get people, you know, to talk about it further than, I guess, the people that have been here today, or like, you know, do you think community forum is a good idea, or,
Here's what I would recommend on this one, actually. So I'm not really a fan of this pattern in general, but I think that this is the right pattern for this situation. So I think that the right way to address this particular issue is to basically like feel out. Okay, so look, AIBs broke off their comms. Okay, I can't contact them. But does that mean the hub doesn't need a lawyer? Bullshit, the hub needs a lawyer. Okay. And so, like, somebody should reach out to AIB. Somebody should reach out to Informal. I can reach out to Informal. I can drop this train of thought in with, like, the ICF comms team. And what we should be attempting to do, in my opinion, is, you know, find a lawyer who really gets the vision of, no, I don't work for the individual hub participants who put me in this place. Because the easiest way to do governance, by the way, is with like overwhelming majority. Okay. And also, this would give the hub's lawyer a mandate. So do I want AIB in on this? Yeah. Do I think their lawyer right now is absolute shit? Yeah. Do I think that they triggered the SEC? Yeah. You know, those things can all be true at the same time. And so basically, we would want to talk to I guess founding orgs generally, also leading orgs with a significant media presence. This is something we should be talking to Crypto Cito about, and I think I'll ping him about it later today. And like, okay, so where do we go from here? I would say that even before the forum post, We want to ping people. We want to see if anybody has strong objections to this concept. If they do, we're going to want to know what they are and understand them. I don't think, like, if somebody is strongly objected, I don't think that that should stop us from getting the hub a lawyer. But we do want to attempt to understand any opposing points of view on this. Then we make a GovProp. Then we put it on the forum. That's my thought.
Do you think that there's anyone that is prominent enough? Because, like, it's certainly me, but, like, that can, like, speak to individuals without the, you know, the infighting that occurs? You know what I mean? Like,
I believe that all of us have it. I could cast blame here. I could say, oh, yeah, I'd be real bad. And actually, like for real, I'm not a big fan of the whole Eastern District of New York thing, which I think really triggered the SEC. However, I don't know. Like, I could just repetitively call Jay. Like, yeah. I've tried this stuff. I've tried this since the Eastern District of New York thing occurred, and I have not had success. So,
this is the first time anyone's fucking actually listened to like me do anything. So, I don't think anyone would. I'm actually surprised at the audience in here.
You're up in here with absolute quality concepts. By the way, I want to say to the audience, like, before we do depart, this is a gentleman here who also figured out that, look, the Cosmos brand should be approximately like, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me.
Sorry, whoever was talking can talk. I didn't hear.
I think Grace's connection may be dying, but that's all I really got to say. And, like, dude, I do want to listen to you. I want to promote your voice in the community because this is twice now where, I don't know, you've just come up with stuff that I feel is unambiguously good. And we need that.
All right. Well, why don't we just call it a night, because this hour has turned into like 4 hours. I think we made a lot of like progress and a lot of discussion. We'll hold another space. Everybody do their best, I guess, to do however they feel they can help the idea. Or if you don't like the idea, do whatever you can to not like it. But I'm gonna have to go to sleep here soon.
Hey, man, sleep good. Maybe I will just throw it on the forum. That's not usually that is usually my governance approach. It has mixed results, but maybe we should just JFDI. So, like, by the way, I'll throw something on the forum. Maybe, like, if you want to edit it, though, I'll give you credit for your edits and whatever. And by the way, like, you know, you're doing great, man. If you want to throw it on the forum, that's fine with me, too.
I put shit on the forum, and I don't get a reply, so I'd probably be better if you put it on the forum.
Sure. You got it. I'll shoot over a Google Doc with the text, and have a great night.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was part two of the two-part space hosted by Sean O'Reilly. It started out titled Branding, Lawyers, The Future, Cosmos Ecosystem. And by the time it was done, 4 hours and 44 minutes later, it was titled Howie Applies, or Does Cosmos Decide First? Recorded on Thursday, June 8th, 2023. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. And if you want to keep listening, head on over to TerraSpaces.org/donate and show some support. Now,
nice.
I'm gonna tell you something. When the world starts to get really bad and these mugs out here robbing... You gonna love digital currency.
All these motherfuckers, they be running and gunning, and I'm all like, I'm sitting back just having fun in the sun, and then I'm like 1 out of 100, I'm just building abundance of some of everything we built during the last 100 upsets. You're getting salty, feeling faulty, you ain't no man. I keep Robo here, grinning ear to ear, throwing up anarchy, smoking toiletries, spitting philosophies. Look at the dossier, we rack like geology. There's layers to this shit, like it's sedimentary. All these little onion peels getting torn off and buried. Imagine the smell, that shit is a vital experience. Without knowing how, you will not survive, period.
He's a fucking trip, man.
Jimmy, if you listen to this, right, you're getting absolutely fucking ripped to death, like on a spaceship for life, you little troglodyte bastard. I hope you fucking listen, I hope you come to my house, son. I swear to God, man, I've got fucking loads of weapons and mad dogs, man. You're just a little rat, man. Go on, fuck off, man. Go on, fuck off. Harmony, me and the other one, do you looking for a fucking job? You fucking idiot, you've just been fucking at my death. Fuck off.
Try to change the course of the portion philosophy. I'm just here for the corporation sponsored lobotomy. Feels like I won the lottery, like I'm ghosting this pottery. Chill, Demi, boy, the shit's supposed to be haunting. If it wasn't, ain't no puzzle, you would try to train your muscle. Airdropping like a fatal hustle, but the pay is bustin'. Think of all the loss accrued just to pick up on the truth. Because I'm not figured all those sub doubts would make up for something. I guess it just goes to show, the fuck do I know? At least it's quiet over here, I like my little silo. It's better than watching them fight over how to divide my time between sitting at the desk and the ride home. Devs at Mickey D's, they leeching off that Wi-Fi. Zapdos and Mold, they shipping more than Five Guys. Console open, waiting for the kamikaze. When the flash loans bang, they feeling like paparazzi. Snapshot motherfuckers, we got layers, meteor and jawbreaker. We cracking a lot of craters, we rapping a lot of pay dirt, maxing out relayers. Imagine the smell, $5 wrench to your Darth Vader.
It's really funny to us at Binance that everyone here is talking about blockchain attack. We know who all the validators are. We know where they live, and we're going to their house. We're going with a wrench, a big wrench, and we will attack them with the wrench. And then we will take their validator node physically and put it in a truck and drive it to China.
Right. So this is an extension of the activities you performed on BTC, right? Funding and creating these massive Bitcoin mines, putting them in caves, putting them in factories that were abandoned in the past, and also using electromagnetic pulse bombs to detonate the USA and the other country mines, right? So you're now applying this strategy to Lung in order to take over the chain, is that correct?
It's more simple. There's no EMP bomb. It's just a van of men in balaclava, and they have wrench, and they're taking the physical validators from people's houses. They are usually very fat, and they're usually in the shower with trying to wash their mice droppings off their clothes. So it's very simple. We just walk in and we take it. But if there is someone who is sitting at the computer or sleeping at the computer, we hit them with the wrench really, really hard. And then they say, stop. Don't do that again. And we say, that's okay. Just give us your validator node. And then they give it to us and we drive it to China.
Channel Spaces.